So there's a lot of talk about integrity and authenticity these days. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the cool buzzwords. And certainly, I make my living by offering counseling for people with the words integrity and authenticity at the core. I want to encourage my clients and encourage the people that I come in contact with to be their full selves, to live with the insides matching the outsides. So in the past few years, I've had a few couples who've come to me for relationship help. And in the process of unpacking their relationship baggage, they've come to the conclusion that rather than continue together, it's a better idea for them to go their separate ways. And I have been honored to be with them through those transitions, to help them figure out how to best split up, how to best end their relationship. With appreciation and understanding and ritual, if that's what they want. It is wonderful to feel part of a community, whether as a couple or as individuals. So having those rituals of welcoming into the community of their friends and family is a healing place, because then nobody has to choose sides. Nobody has to say, well, I can only be so-and-so's friend because the other person was just horrible and hideous. You can love both people and choose how you spend your time without having to make the other person the bad person. So what does integrity really mean? It's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness, and it is also the state of being whole and undivided. So I know that I've spoken with you before about my divorce 10 years ago, and I will admit to you that I was not full of integrity at that point. I tried really hard, but I did not win the prize for integrity. I won maybe the prize for trying, or at least my own prize for trying, because I did that one better than I did other breakups. And the couple of relationships I've had since then, I've done those separations better. I'm learning and growing, as we all are. So this word uncoupling has gotten a little bit of a boost in recent memory. I don't know how many of you read the internet or, I don't know, look at People magazine or stuff like that. But back in March, Gwyneth Paltrow announced on her blog, which I don't read, but I happen to see it on Facebook, which is really where I get most of my news. I know it's kind of sad. but I'm on Facebook a lot, and so, you know, stuff comes up. And Gwyneth Paltrow announced that she and her partner, Chris Martin, who happens to be a singer for a rock band, a band I don't care for, quite honestly, I'll just say that right now, but they have decided to consciously uncouple. They've been married for about 11 years, they have some children, and this created a furor of talkback on the internet. Just crazy comments of, well, why don't you just call it divorce, and why don't you just do it this way, and why do you have to come up with a new word? It's not a new word. There was a book written about conscious uncoupling, I think 2001, let me just check my notes. 1990, I'm sorry, I totally lied to you. It's 1990, Diane Vaughan wrote a book called Conscious Uncoupling. And her explanation of it at the time, because it was such a new term, is the process in which individual members of a couple, initially one, begin to recognize that the relationship is no longer fulfilling their needs. Upon recognizing their dissatisfaction, the individual begin the process of redefining the relationship and negotiating an individual identity separate from their coupled identity. Although potentially internal, the redefinition and negotiation process is possess a conscious element. Ultimately, the other partner will learn of their partner's dissatisfaction, and they too must engage in the conscious process of defining a new individual identity upon separation. In her words, couples must consciously uncouple. Now, as you can imagine, that hit a little bit of the pond and sort of had a one ripple, you know. At 1990, most people weren't really looking into conscious uncoupling. And I will admit, in 1990, I was 19 years old, So I couldn't consciously do much, actually. But it did hit a little bit of a ripple. And people in relationship counseling decided, hey, this might be a thing that we could do, because we've been working with relationships. We've been working with people trying to be more authentic, be more real with each other. And sometimes the real means that you aren't going to stay. Now, this can happen with your friends. I mean, how many of us have the same group of friends from years to years to years? Some of us are lucky. Some of us have had conflicts with our friends, and we have grown and moved and changed, and they are still in our lives. I'm thinking that many of you here have been in your partnerships for a number of years. And some of you may be on new partnerships because the old ones no longer fit you, and you did not fit them. It also happens in our work. You know, I just had been working for 5 years as a social worker. I did 5 years, and as well as doing ministry, but part-time social work, and that job no longer fit me. I was not being fulfilled, and as a result, I was kind of slacking. And so, luckily, it was a grant-funded job, and I said, oh, I'm just not going to continue after this grant year, and they were like, well, great, we're just not going to renew the grant. So everybody left on good terms, which was really nice. But I had that chance to talk about it and to give notice in a really conscious and integrity-filled way about what I wanted, and also not saying that it had to be a negative thing. And I know that many of us have been on committees, whether it's a church committee or a school board or, you know, a nonprofit, and committees are not often easy. We often run into personal conflicts with other people. Certain people have an agenda that perhaps is not our own, and they can be a little stubborn, or even more so, in pushing that agenda forward. And you're still going to have to go to the grocery store and maybe run into them. Or maybe your kids played soccer together and you had to see them at the soccer field, even though you just had this really strenuous discussion and perhaps argument, you know, at the committee meeting for fundraising for the new church building, right? We often get into conflicts with people and can't get out of them. But we can do it well when we choose to leave. So getting back to the partnership thing, there's a woman called Catherine Woodward Thomas, and she is a big proponent of the conscious uncoupling movement. And she has developed a 5-week online course. I think it's free, actually, but you can take it online, and she calls it a proven process for lovingly completing a relationship that will leave you feeling whole and healed and at peace, and a catalyst for making a breakthrough in the way you show up in your life and in your next relationship, right? Because you have to keep going. We are built to be connected. We are designed to be in relationship with each other. So even if I don't do well in the first one, the fourth one, or maybe subsequent ones, I'm going to get another chance, right? I'm going to get another chance. It might not be the same lover relationship, but I'm going to get another chance to be in relationship with folks, and I would like to do that next one better. I would like to do the next one with more integrity, with greater kindness, with a bigger heart full of love. And so if I'm ending one well, I get to start off the next one a little less pained, a little less angry, a little less antagonistic. And that's what conscious uncoupling can help us do. So I know you're saying, what's the secret? Come on, Diana, give us the tools. What are the 3 things I need to know? Well, I have those 3 things. The first thing you need to do in consciously uncoupling with a partner, a friend, a committee, a job, a relationship of any type, is to air your grievances. You need to be able to work through the points of conflict that have brought you to the place of choosing to leave. You do not need to agree with each other. You don't have to like the person. But you do have to open your heart in compassion and understanding and forgiving the other person and yourself. That's why we did that little meditation on forgiveness. Forgiving is about appreciating that everyone has done the best they could at the time with the knowledge and skills that they have. So, air your grievances, number one. Number two, you need to release your anger. Let yourself move on. That's part of the forgiveness process, is releasing the anger. If you continue to be angry about your past, you forfeit your happiness in the present and in the future. I mean, we've all been angry. Anger's helpful. Anger's a catalyst. Anger that sits around becomes resentment. And resentment will eat you alive. Third, and especially if you have children because you're in a partnership, you have to be able to exhibit respect for each other. You choose where your attention goes, and you point it toward the good stuff. It's also true of leaving a group, right? Again, you may come in contact with that person at the grocery store, or at they're sitting next to you when you go to the symphony. Could I change my seat, please? You get to exhibit respect and care for each other. That's why we are a covenantal faith, right? We every time we form a committee, every time we come together, we create a covenant of how we will treat each other so that it's easier when things break down, because we go back to that covenant of how are we going to be together. One of the things that I have found helpful in my work is if you go back to the feelings of the first blush of relationship, that first new, oh, I've just met this person and they're wonderful. That person is still there inside the person that you are in conflict with. If you can remember those wonderful things, the conflict doesn't seem quite so important. Doesn't mean you have to fall in love with them all over again. But they're still that person, and so are you. In our reading this morning, we heard about Icarus, that legendary boy who became overconfident and plunged to his death. But as Jack Gilbert reminds us, he also flew. In those first heady days of new love, we are flying. We are flying. We talk about it. That's one of the things. I feel like I'm walking on air. I'm on cloud nine. I feel like I'm flying. You can barely breathe. Your heart beats so fast. But anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Right? If you're going to do it, jump right in. Do it with your full self, with your full heart, with your full life. Maybe it's badly, but you won't ever know you could have done it better if you don't go with your whole self. We make the best of every situation when we look for the learning and stop focusing on the unmet expectations. And how can they say the marriage failed? Jack Gilbert says. Now, see, failure is a word that doesn't encompass all the ways in which things went right. Failure is a one-shot deal. Bam, failure. But leading up to failure are a string of successes and failures and movement and flow and up and down and all sorts of things. Failure is just a small snapshot of the grander picture of the relationship. So what do you do with those feelings? Those feelings that come up and they're really hard and they're really crunchy and they don't feel like anything you want to feel at all. Well, that's where therapy comes in handy, or if good friends, or prayer, or meditation, or journaling. All of those things can help us deal with the feelings. And the feelings don't have to dictate our actions. We get to choose how we act in everyday life. We get to choose each moment how we show up, what words we use, what actions we do, whether we are choosing to stay or choosing to leave. And it's also okay to get excited for what comes next. Sometimes we're so stuck in, like, I have to feel guilty about where things have not gone right, that we lose the fact that I'm going to be a new person. I mean, really, we always are, aren't we? Every day we are new people. So what's the excitement? What am I moving toward versus what am I leaving behind? Yes, I want to end well, but I also want to move toward the new with excitement and passion. Honor your own experiences and still leave room for the experiences of others. Going back to that airing of the grievances, right? That's not easy. It is not easy to sit with someone who is angry with you or angry with the situation. And yet, only by listening do we become more compassionate. Being heard is a vital human need. And to extend that to another person and have it extended to ourselves is amazingly powerful and allows us to move on with integrity. It's also important to nurture yourself and set healthy boundaries. No is a complete sentence. It is. And I don't want to is a real reason. It's a real reason. So take some space. Communicate from a distance if you need to. Point out patterns that you do not agree with, like name-calling or bringing up old drama. And then when you say you're not going to engage in something, do that. I am not going to participate in this argument yet again. And then don't. Even though you know that person knows all your buttons and knows how to twist your knobs and make you just want to scream and yell. Because people can be really good that way, right? That's a skill. And we are all honed from childhood on how to twist somebody's knobs. My sister, she could do it like no other. We have no need to do it anymore. But boy, we did for a long time. The last thing that I like to talk to with people is, how do I want to remember behaving in this process? It doesn't always help you take the highest road possible. But when you're in conflict, it feels very small. It feels very small and contained and closed and sometimes dangerous. And when we're in danger, we want to lash out. We want to make it bigger. We want someone to step back. But if I can sit there in that conflict and try to imagine what I want to remember myself as having done, my reaction becomes less violent. It becomes less of a push and more of a stand. Right? I don't have to push someone away in order to stand and be still in myself. You do not have to make anything a bloodbath. We've all done it. We're watching it happen on the world stage. We don't have to do it this way. We don't have to. It's a choice. And if you choose, you can do some sort of ritual of separation, some sort of uncoupling, whether you invite family and friends, whether you invite your children, whether you do it just with the two people who are in conflict. But having some sort of closing ceremony, right, brings us to a point of gratitude and honor and closure. And the ability to move forward comes more easily when we feel like we have done the work we were meant to do in each relationship. So you don't have to be kind or unkind or cruel to set boundaries that are in line with who you are and who you are becoming. Of course we outgrow relationships, right? I outgrow clothes. Well, no, hopefully not anymore. But I did, right? As a child, we outgrow clothes, we outgrow shoes. Some of us are still outgrowing clothes or undergrowing clothes or outgrowing skin, new skin all the time, right? We outgrow things. And sometimes the relationships that we have crafted have become too small. And sometimes they can be expanded within that dynamic, understanding that the people in it are new and bigger. And sometimes that container is no longer appropriate. No one has to be the bad person. No one has to be the bad person in order to move on. Focus on what you're moving toward rather than what you're running from. And you can even be excited for the other person who is moving toward something. Right? Nothing makes you feel better about yourself than knowing you're exactly where you need to be and trusting that you're continuing on. And that's really wonderful to be able to give that gift to someone else, even if it's only in your mind, even if you can't say those words right out loud. You can only control yourself and your own responses. As much as you want someone else to be different or to change or magically be kind, they may not be that place. They may not be able to do that. But by consciously uncoupling, at least for yourself, you can make the breakup, the separation, less hard, more integral, with your insides matching your outsides. And that is what I wish for all of us, that our insides match our outsides. Thank you.